My mom likes to hear the messages, so thank you, Mom, for being a good mom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Corinth is a very affluent place. Anybody remember why? Why Corinth was a lot of, there was a lot of money there. There was a lot of affluence. That means a lot of education and a lot of philosophy. Anybody remember why Corinth was like that?
Trade route.
Trade route, yeah. It was a squeeze point in Greece between Rome and the rest of the world there, the Turkey. So to get from Rome to Ephesus or to Israel, you had to go around Greece. And you could, or you could take a shortcut through Corinth, which is a 4-mile journey across land, put your boat on rollers, or carry the goods across by taxi or camel, whatever. But during that time, you would be exchanging, you would spend time in Corinth and your money as well. So it was a very affluent town, I mean, very rich area. Only 4 miles, the squeeze point in Greece. It's like a figure eight with a smaller bottom. But it's got that squeeze point that's 4 miles. Today there's a canal through there. The boats can get through there, very narrow canal, very beautiful place. I encourage you to look up the ruins of Corinth. The amphitheater's there. That's where the Greek orators would stand up in the amphitheater there and talk to up to 14,000 people all at once with no electricity. Just beautiful design, but a lot of philosophy, a lot of heady stuff, a lot of stuff that it would fill your minds but wouldn't fill your heart. God is about the heart, but he wants to renew our minds as well. Someone read Romans 12 today. Forget what it was. You got it written down. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and that's the renewing of the mind, and that's the idea here, that we're presenting ourselves before, we're humbling ourselves. Somebody talked about humility as well, Terry did. Humbling ourselves before God. All right, I'm setting aside my opinions, even the ones I like a lot. I'm setting aside all these things and, you know, these pet things that I have. And I really want to know you. I want to be discipled. I want to hear you, Lord. I don't want to be Martha and be dictating the Lord what to do. Lord, tell this person to do this. Lord, tell this person to do that. I want to be Mary. I want to be at the feet of Jesus, listening and clinging on to every word that he says and presenting that humility that she did. So that's an awesome thing. And our mind becomes renewed in that sense, and the word of God is powerful in that way to do so. So Paul is challenging these affluent people, these rich people that are well-educated and used to fine speeches. And he's saying, I didn't come with fine words and enticing words. I didn't come like these Epicureans and these Stoics of Greece. I came with the power of the gospel and fear and trembling, he's going to say in chapter 2 here. He says, this preaching of the gospel is a stumbling block to the Jews. And he says it's foolishness to the Greeks. Talking about a suffering Savior. It's a stumbling block for the Jews. They're expecting a Messiah to come down and take over Rome. Immediately, get Nero out of there. Get Caesar out of there. Man, this administration, these taxes, this control, that's what we need. We need a godly man to come down. We need Messiah to come down and set up government. So it was a stumbling block that God would send a son that would suffer at the hands of Rome. Suffer at the hands of Rome according to their torturous system of the cross. It was a stumbling block for them. And to the Greeks, they're like, that's silly. This is weird. This is silly. It's not mentally stimulating me. Well, you need to get the 18 inches down to the heart. Talk about stimulation. When you're hit with the gospel plow, there's nothing as sharp. It will penetrate man as the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Picking up in verse 26, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Not many noble are called. Last week we finished with a question we asked each other. What's the foolishness? What's the weakness of God? Kind of an odd question. God has a weakness. God has a foolishness. Yeah, it's you and me. When we become part of his possession, we're bought with a price. We're his. So we become his foolishness, his weakness. And that's stronger that's mightier, that's wiser than anything of man, any philosophy of these Greek orators, anything in the highest schools of this land, any knowledge that the scientists dream up in their labs, it's wiser. The foolishness, you and me, of God, the weakness of God, you and me, his bride, is wiser, stronger than anything else in the world because of God dwelling in us. For you see your calling, brother, not many wise after the flesh. Not many, that's the key, after the flesh. Not many noble are called. That's the world's definitions, how they would define us. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Why? Does God want to entertain himself one afternoon? Yeah. Well, he's going to tell us why he does this. And it's an issue that's in each one of us that needs to be crucified. It's called pride, and we're all born with it. We're all born with a shopping cart of pride. And in that shopping cart, you have a tendency to fill it with sin. You have a tendency to end up in the mall of sin, filling up that shopping cart. Pride draws attention to yourself. It wants to fulfill self. It's all about self. It's all about me. I is the center of sin. And it is. No question about it. So we all have that shopping cart. That's your nature. It's your sin nature. It wants to feed itself. It wants to elevate itself. That pride has to die. It has to die in each one of us. Not some of us, each one of us has that issue. That shopping cart has to be recycled, crushed, completely annihilated on the cross, all of it. The issue is pride here. This is what's going on with God and him elevating the humble, raising up the humble. That's the idea here. All right, so keep that in mind here. The base things of the world and things that are despised has God chosen? Yes. 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 And things that are not to bring to naught, things or bring to nothing, things that are. There it is in verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Pride. The original sin. You can be like gods. Just eat of this fruit. Of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of bad, so you can do bad things? No. It was the knowledge of good and evil. It was a tree we don't belong on. Only God belongs there. God is the judge. Danny read about judgment today, I believe. We're going to talk about that. No flesh should glory in his presence. What do you guys think about that? Flesh glorying in his presence. One thing that comes to mind in the natural are doves and crows. And I see so much of the two kingdoms in God's creation. Since the fall of man, not only man was affected, but all of creation was affected. We know there's things that animals do that are part of the fall, part of sin infecting this whole creation down here. All of creation groans. Oh! Groans for the coming, the redemption. Yeah. All of creation, not just the mankind. All of creation. The whole earth is groaning for the coming of the Son. And he's coming. Yeah. Oh my goodness, he's coming. He's coming like a train. He's coming. No flesh should glory in his presence. All of creation groans. Why? Because there is that presence of the two kingdoms now that are very much evident in his creation. Some of his creation infected by it. And we see that all the way back in Deuteronomy. A few people read from that. James read from that this morning. Another person read from that. Susan read from that. We see that all the way back in Deuteronomy, the clean and the unclean presentation. It's like, what's that all about? Well, we see the two kingdoms present in creation. You see the clean and the unclean there, the division. There's two things going on here, not three kingdoms, not 3,000. There's two kingdoms. Don't be confused. Don't be confused. The devil will confuse you and say there's a gray area. There's a neutral area. There's Switzerland. Yeah. Switzerland is now paying the price for their neutrality.
Yeah.
They're really getting overrun with Islam. And because of their neutrality, not having a backbone to stand up against what is evil. In his creation, I see crows and doves as one example of many. That's crows are go way back to Deuteronomy with the unclean. The doves would be the clean. Remember what was released from the ark? The crows wouldn't come back because they would find a carcass to lay on. They were unclean. They could dwell with death. They could dwell with the dead comfortably. Carcasses, rotting flesh. They're like maggots, you know, like they would eat that. So that's unclean. That's a sign of that kingdom. They're a symbol of that kingdom. The dove, on the other hand, when it was released, would not put its foot down on anything dead floating, the floating hippopotamuses, whatever, were floating around. But that return, that's a clean animal. And you take that forward, and you could just go outside, hear the back or front, and you can walk around till you find some mourning doves or some crows. They're not too hard to find around here. And you could kind of get an idea of what's happening, especially if you go to Auburn about this time of year. In the morning, the crows are starting to congregate, and they are not... They are definitely of the other kingdom,
yeah.
Representations in a big way. As they fly, they're all doing their own thing. They're flying haphazardly, and I watch them sometimes when I'm supposed to be working, you know, and looking out the window because they distract, and they're picking at each other sometimes even. One will pick at you as it's flying. And they make the worst sound. If Roger was here this morning, he could do it for you. And it just annoy you right to the bone. The sound of the crow is horrible. It just bothers you. Everything about them, they feed off of death. They're on the side of the road eating dead skunk. And you're plugging your nose as you're driving by. They're like, man, time to eat. When we come together, we should have the idea in the mind of Christ that we are one, worshiping as one,
yes.
As the doves do. Man, you see them flying together? What's going on? Is there even a leader there? Or has God just instinctively put that in them? Which one is causing them all to turn? It's like, wow, it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. And the sound they make, and the pleasant, just like Maddie on the beach there. You can fall asleep right on a rock. He wants us to have that.
Yes.
That oneness together. The prayer of our Lord as he was departing, his departing prayer, that they'd be one. And this would be the sign that the world would know. When we worship together, you guys did it together today. You were respecting each other, allowing other people to talk, not saying, cutting each other off as somebody else was talking. I saw the humility. Even when two people started at the same time, one backed off. There was humility. There was the desire that God would be glorified. When we sing together, try to find that place where all of us are together. We're all singing together. It's not you in the shower. It's not you in the prayer closet. And it's like, hey, I'm here and I'm just giving it to God. Look out. Get connected. You're with a team here. You're with a body of believers. Sense that as you're singing. Sense that. Yield to that. And rise up in that. So you start kind of in a humble sense and you sense the rhythm. You sense what's happening. You sense the Spirit of God and you rise up in that. And we all fly together and it's beautiful. It's beautiful that no flesh should glory in His presence. Pride will destroy His bride. It will destroy His bride. It's putrefying. Isaiah starts out with that. He said, God is describing his people, his people Israel, and it's just like putrefying sores, gross from head to toe. That means they stink. Even the wounds are not only just open, they're stinking, they're stench. That's pretty bad. No flesh should glory in his presence. Real big, folks. You need to be delivered from self.
Amen.
You really do. I'm 52 and I'm still being renewed in that area. We present our body, as Gretchen read, as living sacrifice, and he does the renewing. He does the transforming. Can we all believe that about each other? That's happening. Can we all not feel like, well, I'm not like them. I wish I was. No, we're all clay on the potter's wheel. Come on. Let's get over that he, she, and you know, I've been walking with the Lord, and I'm this, and I'm that. And there it says in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. That's who you are.
Amen.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ in me. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Do you want the wisdom of this world, or do you want the wisdom of God? Do you want the morality of this world, or do you want the morality of God, his righteousness? Danny read about, come ye be separate, there's sanctification. Do you want to know what it is to walk in that purity of light as the world defines or as God defines? Do you want the world to redeem you and say, hey, we can take this individual, we can reconstruct him, we can make the bionic man out of this mess? Or do you want God to do it?
Yeah.
The world will try to patch you together with band-aids and duct tape. It ain't gonna work. You might hobble along. You might get by. I'm telling you what, right now, that the world will define salvation as that, you know, you don't do certain things. That ain't salvation. Salvation is being filled by the living God and being directed by him and desiring his will for your very food.
Hallelujah.
I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, for your way. Lead me on paths of righteousness for your sake, God. You are my shepherd. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. I will fear not. I will fear not because you are with me. Mm-hmm. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. And it sounds like the whole package. You got the whole Camp Gregory package with you. You brought your toothbrush and even your flashlight and Bible and sleeping bag and fishing pole. You got the whole deal there. The whole package. We're complete in Christ. It isn't part of the equation in your life. It's not, I got the Jesus part of my life, that piece of the puzzle, and that's going to make my puzzle all come together. No, that's the whole puzzle, folks. That's the whole puzzle. You find your life. You completely die, and you find your life in him. That sounds like I'm talking strange or something. Does that sound weird? Does anybody have any questions about that? What used to lead me doesn't lead me anymore. I used to be led by selfish desire, what people could do for me. That's an example of something that's died. I'm now led by the light of Christ. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I'm led by the love of God who gave his son, and I want to give. And that brings pleasure instead of pleasure being from things receiving from other people and from fleshly sensory things. Man, it is more fulfilling. It is more fulfilling to do the will of God than to eat pizza. It really is. The disciples had gone to town to get lunch. Man, they were stuffed. They come back and say, Jesus, you didn't get that lunch? you know, cracking a few burps probably. And Jesus was already full. He was doing the will of God, man. He was setting that woman free at the well, cutting her loose. Years and years of bondage. And she ran into town and says, wow, you got to meet this guy. You got to meet this God, the Son of God.
The first missionary.
Amen. All right, let's break into chapter 2 a little bit. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did I finish verse 31? No, I didn't.
No.
That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Maddie demonstrated that this morning. You know, and that's good that we encourage each other. It's like, wow, Maddie, James is encouraging you. Thank you for Maddie and Mindy. A couple other people said it. How much they, you know, energy they had and stuff like that. And what did Maddie say? It wasn't me. I came tired. I didn't even want to be here. You know, I added a little bit to that. That was truth. he was done. He was burnt when he got there. He's like, I don't even know why I'm here. I just felt like he feels like one of the trees that are just standing there. You know, so God raised him up in that. He was completely gone, and God breathed life on him.
He looked like the energetic bunny.
He does it. He does it. I mean, how many times I've been attacked by the devil and don't go to prayer meeting or don't do this or, you know, and just like, God, this ain't happening unless you give me strength right now, you know.
That's right.
Praise God. He does. He's faithful. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's glory in the Lord. You want to boast? You want to have pride? You can have all the pride you want. All the ice cream they made, the Sundays they made at camp. They were some good-looking Sundays. Some of that whipped cream. Yeah, Xander, you were right up there. Tied for first place. A couple others. It was pretty incredible. You want the glory? Glory in the Lord. You know the difference between and not shining yourself with the God behind you. No, it's promoting God.
That's right. Yeah.
Glory. Let him glory in the Lord. There's a big difference. Let him glory in the Lord. Most of the time you know it. You just know it. It was God. So how can you, like, it feels like, wow, I'm really stealing if I try to say something that was like, well, you know, I really did good or something like that. It's just like, no, I didn't. I just told you. That's why God, he brings you to a place. He makes you lay down in those green pastures and still waters. He brings you to a place that you really know that it's him. You know, and sometimes I'm praying for healing or sometimes like things like that. And God has used those weaknesses in my life. He's healed me. I've experienced miraculous healing. But he's also allowed some things to continue that no flesh would glory in his presence, that he would be glorified Amen. In the things that I'm doing. And I know that. Mm-hmm. I just know it because I have absolutely no energy at all in some cases. And completely just gone. And I have every thread, every ounce, every atom of my body needs Christ. And I know that, and it's to his glory. How dare I say anything else or indicate that anything else that is of me or any of my strength. He helps me with that area. He makes me lay down in green pastures. They're green pastures. But he makes me lay down. I'm going to find food and provision there.
Amen.
In that laying down. Boy, he's going to feed me and he's going to cause me to rise up. Amen. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. He wasn't one of these Greek orators. Can you imagine these guys, high polished, they had the little laurel on their head in the robe, the tunic, in front of 14,000 people and the applause and the, you know, all the dynamics of that. I'm glad we don't see that in churches today. I'm baiting you. I'm baiting you, Dwight. You know that. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, Paul wasn't just some random guy. He was one of the noble. Not many noble. But he would be one of the not many noble. He was very noble. He was one of the Pharisees, one of the elite, well-educated, and educated with the top, Gamaliel, the top rabbis. And he set that all aside. He considered that dirty diapers. It's actually worse than that, but I won't mention that. Dirty diapers. He considered all of that education, all that stuff that he had, he considered that this is dumb compared to this power. This real good stuff, the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The power of God indwelling you. I would never trade any of that. So he set that all aside. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the paramount thing. That's the plow. That's the sickle that's been plowing through the soil of humanity for 2,000 years and has hit you and me. Poof! It become part of the soil that's been cultivated and now is bearing fruit. Sometimes some 50, some 100. And here he is in verse 3. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Wow, that doesn't sound like a powerful Greek orator to you, does it? A lot of times he had knots on his head from getting stoned or whipped or whatever he got. And he apparently had some type of eye problem. We saw that in Galatians. Said, you guys didn't despise me. It was hard to look at me. He had something visual that was going on. Whether his eyes were weeping or something like that, most people feel. He just was nasty looking at him. He's pure and trembling. He got all this. But he had the power of God. People falling over in the Spirit, being filled with God, and just being totally gifted with God, speaking in tongues and different languages, having discernment, having the equipment of God displayed upon them. It's like, wow. Thank you, Jesus. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. There it is. There's that weakness. There's that laying down, then being raised up. And listen. In verse 4, and my speech and my preaching, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Be healed today in the name of Jesus. Be set free today in the name of Jesus. As we worship together, I want you to get the idea of the doves working together and the power of God falling upon us. Because it is. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here to set you free. God wants you to be free today to serve Him, to walk after Him, to be in love with Him, to love each other. Let what you say then not be in the wisdom of man anymore. All that philosophy needs to be flushed away. Stand on the power of God today. What He did for you is real. What He did for you is for you completely, all of you, your toes to the top of your head. No more putrefying sores. No more decay. No more stench. No more crows calling at each other and picking at each other. He wants you to be together in unity as one. Let's worship Him this morning in Jesus' name.
The absence of self and the depth of the spirit of man is the major stumbling block in being of the kingdom of God. Israel wanted a bureaucrat to come against Rome. They wanted someone of the bureaucratic spirit and structure, and that comes right out of the pits of hell. There is no righteousness of God in bureaucracy. They had no idea how to view absence of self. And the resurrection of the spirit man. Give us eyes to see God.
Amen. Praise God.
All of creation, all of the earth, made straight a highway, path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sin, wake up.